or we will be praying for you. Now, Fred Richter has come to be with us today from Murray area. Fred, I'm going to let you, rather than me, try to talk about who you are. You introduce yourself to us, and as if we don't know squat about the Gideons, all right? I want you just to unfold it for us. And if you're comfortable here or up there, wherever you are, you do that. Thank you for coming to be with us today. God bless you.
Good morning. Think of this, I call it Report Sunday, when I get an opportunity to go visit another church and give a Gideon report on what's been going on in the Gideon ministry. I wake up on Report Sunday all excited because I get to meet new friends. Raining as it is, didn't bother me a bit. I'm just excited to be here. A little intimidated. Walk in here and you're studying right out of John Bunyan, is it? I was impressed. That was pretty heavy stuff. But everything your pastor has talked about this morning fit right into kind of what I'm thinking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think sets the mood for a point that I want to bring out in the fact that this is a ministry that we can share in together. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 4, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now that he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor." I just want you to understand, we are all on the same team. We've all been given the same mission. I don't know if you thought about it, but as Christians, our mission is to share the good news, to testify to the change in our lives that God has brought in our lives. Your pastor's job is to be nurturing Christians, believers. He only goes out and witnesses because he also is a Christian. But his job should be the under-shepherd to nourish us. We as Christians need to be the ones who are out there testifying the change that God has brought in our lives. I want to share with you just an example of how this all comes together. There's a testimony out of North Carolina. Brother Jackie Hensley wrote to the Gideons. He's pastor. He was actually interim pastor at Dunn's Creek Baptist Church down there in Brevard, North Carolina. And he wrote to say that as they was conducting their Wednesday night service and they called for prayer, a member in the congregation asked for prayer for a relative that had been diagnosed with cancer, and they did pray for him that night. Now, the next day, a member of that family called him to let him know that the cancer had proceeded more than they realized. His time was short. This interim pastor felt the call to go visit that man in the hospital. He went into the hospital. He checked to see what room he was in. He went to the room. The door was closed. He knocked, and a woman's voice told him to come in. When he came in, this man that had come to visit was unresponsive. He was kind of drifting in and out of alertness. But he just felt led to start sharing with him some scriptures. He started to read some passages of scripture and realized he had left that New Testament he carries out in the car. But he knew that right there in the bedside stand, that top drawer, would be a Gideon Bible. So he opened it up, and sure enough, there was a Gideon-placed scripture there. And he read some passages of scripture. As he read, he said he could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in that room, and he felt like that woman. Turns out the woman was a daughter-in-law of this man that was dying of cancer. She was crying softly. He felt like she felt the presence of God also. But as he started reading, the man started coming around, gaining consciousness, and when he came alert enough, he talked about, you know what you'd talk about to a fellow you'd come and you knew that he was unsaved? Fishing. I mean, think about it. I mean, first you've got to establish some kind of relationship with somebody before you can start talking about serious stuff. So he started out with fishing and led into some of the more serious things. He said, you know, some members of your family have told me that you don't have Christ as your Savior. And he said, yeah. So he continued on and he shared some scriptures with him, explained the plan of salvation. The man said, yes, I would like to accept Christ as my Savior. And he led him in the sinner's prayer. When it got done, the man said, "Now I feel like I am in the hand of God." So he celebrated with him. And then that Sunday, well, he wrote this letter to the Gideons International just to let them know what had happened and to praise God for the faithfulness of the Gideons there in Asheville to make sure that scriptures were in by every bedstand in the hospital. But he said that following Sunday, the man's sister stopped him after church and said, "My brother passed away early this morning, but he told me," he said, "Sis, you can stop worrying about me. I'm a child of God now." You know, the loss of a loved one is painful, but there's something about it that eases that pain, knowing you're going to see them again the other side of the Jordan. Those are the neat things in how it all works together. We made sure Scripture was there, but it was someone else that used God's Scripture to lead a man to Christ. And that's what we're all on, that same team together, working together to reach out to the lost, that everyone can know Jesus as their Savior. Just to mention, in case you forgot your visit from last year, Gideons are men of God. We are saved, just like you are. We believe that there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We believe in the inerrant Word left us to read and study God's will for our lives. We're active in the churches. When we become a Gideon, our pastor has to sign off saying, "Yes, that man comes enough. I know it." You know, you don't want to call him up and for a candidate for Gideons and say, "Who?" The pastor has to say, "We are active in our churches. We participate, support the local church. We are either business or professional men, and we have that burden for the lost." Just like you, sometimes the big picture, sometimes we forget because our focus is talking about distributing Scripture all around the world. Our focus is to lead others to Christ. So our first goal is witnessing. The Scriptures is there where we can't witness. The Scriptures we leave in the highways and the byways of life where people come in contact with the Scripture so that when we're not there, they can come and know Jesus as our Savior. We're successful in distributing over 75 million copies of God's Word every year. And that's one hand to another hand. It's not just, here's a box, but distributing over 75 million copies of God's Word every year. You can work this math in your head if you try. Now, there's 52 weeks in a year. 75 million, that's 1.5 times 52 weeks. So we are distributing, give or take, 1.4 million copies of God's Word every week. That's a whole lot of distributing. But to do that, we're mobilized. There's approximately 86,000 Gideon members here in the United States, about that number around the world. Actually, it's about 90,000, but you got about 80,000 here, 90,000 overseas. And the neat thing, I don't know if you thought about this, the importance of evangelism, the importance of sending missionaries around the world. I think the denomination with the largest number of missionaries is the Southern Baptist Convention. They've got about 5,000 missionaries here in the United States and another 5,000 overseas. And, you know, with these tough economic times, I was reading where they're just barely able to support that amount of missionaries. It's important that people hear God's Word, but if you can imagine 5,000 overseas, a lot of missionary support. If you think about it, the Gideons have 65,000 missionaries. They already know the language. They already know the culture. They're citizens of 190 other countries. In the United States, there's 191 countries that have Gideon camps in it. So you've got men of God, know the language, are able to support themselves. All they need is a box of Bibles so that they can share God and they can share God's Word as they go. What better partnership, what better use of God's finances than to purchase Scriptures that we might distribute around the world? Because every dollar you give goes to the purchase and the distribution of Scriptures. We pay dues to support our staff in Nashville so that it's 100% pure on where the money goes. Just to give you an idea, even the little personal workers' testaments, $1.37, maybe $1.40 by now, but it's $5 for a hotel, motel, Bible. We raised about $110 million last year. And when I say we, you and I. About 65 of the 110 million came from the United States alone. The balance came from countries around the world that are able to support the ministry as they can. But out of that 65 million, about equal parts from Gideons ourselves that believe in this ministry and put up our own money, and churches like this one that support the Gideon ministry. Then the third leg I'll talk about in a minute is with that Gideon card program. And you have some Gideon cards there in the back. But through that, through the support, we're able to pass, purchase the scriptures and distribute them around the world. An example of that would be the Gideons try to support the camps all around the world. An example was Terry Boone. He's a regional director for a portion of Africa, and he was there to encourage the Gideon camps there over in Uganda. And I don't know how much you know about Africa. I know just a little bit. But Uganda is not a particularly big country, but it's, if you've heard of Lake Victoria, in Victoria Falls, but Lake Victoria is on the southern border of Uganda. So they were headed back. He had spent a week or two in Uganda encouraging the camps. They were headed back. The trip was over. He had a driver that was a Gideon take him back to the airport around Lake Victoria, and they were going from Mbarara to Kampala, which is the capital of Uganda, to get catch his airplane to go home. And as he's headed back to Kampala, he was thinking about his young son at home and the fact that they make drums there in Uganda, and he was thinking, you know, it'd be neat to get my son a little drum. So he said something to his driver about the possibility of getting a little souvenir drum, and he said, no problem, I know where there's a place near the airport. But as he was driving along there, Nelson hit the brakes, pulled over, and there was like a clothesline with some drums hanging out. There was obviously somebody here selling souvenir drums. They went in there and started talking to him, and there was two men in there working on making those souvenir drums. And as Terry Boone, the Gideon representative from the United States, and the Gideon Nelson there from Uganda, so I talked to the man. They realized he'd been drinking, and they asked him about that. The man said, I've got problems. He said, you don't know all the problems I've got, and the only way that I can face these problems is with alcohol. And Terry says, you know, I've got answered all your problems. Would you like to hear about it? And so he started telling him about the scriptures and talking about Jesus, started witness to him, and explained the plan of salvation. And he said, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? And he said, yes, I'd like to do that. So he led him in a sinner's prayer. And then when he got done, he turned to the other fellow, and turns out the other fellow was already a Christian. So they challenged him to be accountable for this new Christian, to help him fight that demon alcohol and to learn about Jesus, to disciple him. And just Nelson, Terry Boone put this in our Gideon magazine just to point out the fact that it was a simple thing. He just stopped to try to get a souvenir drum. But in that opportunity, by being available to God's will and through the use of the scriptures, he was able to change a life forever, to bring some comfort to a man that needed it. And those are the kind of things that happen just all over the world, not just in the United States. I want to share with you some other areas. You know that we do distribute these scriptures in hotels and motels. This is a hotel Bible. But we also make sure that they're in nursing homes. I don't know if you're aware that at graduation for the nurses, they have a white New Testament. The white New Testament is for healthcare workers. It used to be just for nurses, but now any healthcare worker, if they go to a nursing home or anything like that, they give them a white New Testament. And there was a lady that went back to work as a nurse in the local community hospital, and she wrote to Gideons just to let them know that she had known about the Gideons all her life. But when she went back to work as a nurse at this hospital, she had a friend that was auxiliary, and the auxiliary is the wives of Gideons. They have their areas of service. They pray for us. They pray for the distribution of God's word, but they also distribute the health care workers' New Testament. She gave this lady a copy. The lady's name was Ruth Bushy, but she gave Ruth a New Testament. Ruth said she left it in the break room when she went to work. And it wasn't a couple months later. It was New Year's Eve. And they had a patient there that had just been diagnosed with leukemia. And it was a pretty serious case of leukemia. She felt compelled to go talk to that man. And when before she did, she went and picked up her New Testament and took with her down to the room. And she said, you know, Roger, this diagnosis is not the end for you. God loves you and has a plan for your life. In fact, God has a plan for you beyond this life. Would you like to know about Jesus? Roger said, yeah, I would. But, you know, I've never given God much time my whole life. I just haven't had time for him. I just feel like I'd be a hypocrite if I were to turn to him now. And she said, you know, God's in the business of working with hypocrites. That's right up his alley. You need to know Jesus. She said, you know, what I suggest, start in the book of John. And then if you know anything about witnessing to new Christians, you frequently ask them to start in John because it covers Jesus' ministry and the plan of salvation, and it's easy to read. But she said, start in John. And before she could say anything else, she got called away to some emergency there on the floor, and she wasn't able to get back to him the rest of the night. She checked on him as she was checking out that night at the end of the shift, and he was asleep, so she couldn't talk to him then. But when she came back the next morning was New Year's Day. She came back the next morning, and just when she walked into his room, she could tell there's a difference. She looked at Roger there, and Roger just seemed like he was glowing. She said, Roger, I can see a difference. What's going on here? He says, I've been reading. She said, what'd you read? He said, well, I just started beginning and read all the way through the end. And when I got to the end, I just followed the directions in the back. And Ruth wrote that she didn't realize the plan of salvation is in the back of the New Testaments we distribute. So she didn't realize until that moment that the plan of salvation was there. So he had read through the New Testament and had prayed the sinner's prayer and signed that he wanted to be a child of God. So she talked to him about what a great way to start the new year as a child of God and how important that decision was. And she just wrote us to tell us about that incident and to thank the Gideons for being faithful to distribute scriptures so that others can know Jesus as our Savior. These are the kind of things that just get me excited about this ministry. I just enjoy seeing the change in people's lives. I'm not so sure what's going on in Trigg County, but I'm from Callaway County. Over there, it's been a generation since we've been able to get into the schools. our goal is to distribute New Testament to fifth graders. And if you think about in development of children, that's 10 years old. Somewhere around 10, 12 years old is when they start thinking serious thoughts, start having those questions, and it's time to really a great time for them to turn their lives to Christ. But we've been shut out of there for nearly 20 years now. We prayed about that, and you know God opened some doors. It's been about 8 years ago now, but a thing called Reality Store. They bring the 8th and 10th graders over to Murray State Campus. So we're not on school property there, but they bring these kids over to the Murray State Campus. The reality is they pretend like they got a job and they get so many paper dollars, and then they got to go out and buy a car and find a place to rent and pay for groceries. And the reality of what it costs to really live starts to sink in. We've been invited to come there and share another reality, and that's what they're going to do with their lives. But we have the opportunity there to pass out copies of God's Word to the school children. So God answered some prayer there. And it was without ceasing. I mean, it took about 10 years before that door opened for us to get in there. But it's been a real blessing. I want to share our other testimony with you in this partnership business. There's a fella up in Northern Ohio that works part-time for the social services there, and he keeps a personal worker's testament, a new testament distributed by Gideon's, on a dashboard of that little van that he drives when he picks kids up and takes them to their appointments. And he wrote us to tell us that there was this little boy that one day he got off the bus and noticed that New Testament sitting on a dashboard, and he asked what it is. And he said he tries to keep a copy of God's Word, just open the door so I can talk to him about this. And he said this little fellow, by the time he met him, was in the second grade. But he knew this little fellow his first year. He came from a broken home. His mother really didn't want him. His father was schizophrenic. His first year of school, when he went to school, he got into trouble so much, they actually called the county sheriff to calm him down. That's how wild this kid was. And he said, you know, as many times as they called the sheriff, I'm sure that kid didn't learn much, but they passed him. He's guessing because the teachers want to make sure that they didn't get him back again. Well, by the time he met him, he was in the second grade, but he moved across town. He was in a new school. And this kid was asking, what is that? And he said, that's a copy of God's Word. And he said he could see that through the rearview mirror, this kid's eyes were starting to get real big. You know, he was getting excited. And he said, can I have it? And Raymond Merrick was the fellow that was relating the story. He said, well, can you read? And he says, I'm learning. He says, I'll tell you what now. This is a copy of God's Word. If I give it to you, I want you to promise to take care of it. And he said, well, sure I will. So he let him have that New Testament, and the kid got off of the van. Well, about a week later, he came to pick the little boy up again, and his little brother. He had a four-year-old brother. And right before they got in the van, that little four-year-old managed to step on a bee and stung his foot. And he was just crying his eyes out. They put him on that van anyway. So here's that little second grader, his little four-year-old brother, getting on the van, little kid's crying. Second grader says, you know, if you had Jesus in your heart, that sting wouldn't hurt. And, you know, four-year-old says, how can I know? I don't know how to know Jesus. And he said that second grader led him through the sinner's prayer, did about as good a job as anybody could on a second grader. He was impressed. And he said, you know, I got through that, and that little kid didn't cry a bit the rest of that trip. When they're getting off of the van, the second grader said, you know, I still do some things that disappoint God, but when I do, I stop and pray, ask God to forgive me. Now, I don't know if you think about it, but a second grader able to read this book and know God's plan for his life. Now, that, you know, people make this too complicated. Accepting Christ as your Savior is a pretty simple thing. You just have to have the faith of a child. And those are things that bring joy to my heart. I want to share with you one other testimony from up there in northern Ohio again. But a pastor up there, John Stallions, said that he was making his hospital calls, and he knew a member of his church. Her husband was in the hospital. And he knew that he wasn't saved. But he called on him and talked to him a bit. And as he talked, he said, you know, your family's concerned that you're not saved yet. And this fellow's name was Marlon. He said, yeah. He said, I know my wife's prayed for me. If you've talked to enough people that need to know Jesus, I'm sure you've heard this before. But he said, you know, I've done so many things in my life, I don't think Jesus could ever forgive me. You hear that a lot from people. Brother John Solomon says, could I just read some scripture to you? And he said, is there a Bible there in that bedstand? He says, yeah. He says, you know, the Gideons just came by here less than an hour ago and put new Bibles in all the bedside stands. So he took that Bible out and started reading him. He started with Revelation 3:20, where it says, I stand at the door and knock. And from there he went on into the Roman road and led him through the plan of salvation. And when he got to the end, he said, would you accept Jesus as your Savior? And Marlon said, yes, I'd love to take Jesus as my Savior. And they prayed together. When he got home, he checked in with his parents in another city. He gave him a call, and his dad answered the phone. And when Brother John shared his experience that morning with his father said, you know, this morning, in our daily devotions, your mother and I prayed. We prayed that you would lead somebody to Christ. We also prayed that somebody would use a copy of God's Word, a new copy of God's Word, to lead somebody to Christ.
You've done both at once. It just doesn't happen without God's intervention on things like that. And those things just thrill me when I hear that. I mentioned some sources of income to purchase scriptures is Gideon's, ourselves, churches that understand what we're trying to do and support our ministry, and also the Gideon Card Program. For years it was called Memorial Bible Program, but no longer. This is the modern times. Look how pretty these cards are. These are the latest versions. Those are newer versions. I don't know if you've ever been around long to remember when they're just white with gold letters, and that was it. That was the old days. This is modern. But just the concept, where we use it the most, both my family and my wife's Sunday school class does this, but when somebody passes make a contribution to purchase scripture in memory of someone who's passed, particularly good if you happen to find out a day late about somebody's passing, it's still appropriate to send a card to the family and let them know that you're thinking about them. But there are certainly other cards back there. Thinking of you. You know somebody's going through some hard times, suffering in their life. You want to encourage them. You might dedicate some scriptures to let them know that you're thinking about them. But in recognition, a great card to recognize service. A Sunday school teacher that's been teaching for a number of years. A milestone, graduation, promotion. There's a lot of times when you want to recognize somebody for something. But these, they got the envelope, they're all self-explanatory, so I'm not going to explain it. But a great opportunity to purchase scripture and remember somebody. To bring it a little closer to home, I want to share with you my father-in-law passed away about 5 years ago now. And as they were in the funeral home putting together the obituary, my wife had the presence of mind to put in there that you could make contributions to Gideon's International in memory of Denny Skaggs. And because of just that one line in the obituary in a newspaper, about $200 were contributed, enough to purchase 40 Bibles. But when you consider these Bibles in a hotel will last about 6 years, and you figure the occupancy over the 6 years, there's about 2,300 people that have the opportunity to interact with a copy of God's Word. So just that one sentence in that obituary allowed 40 Bibles to be purchased, which would have touched 92,000 lives in memory of a man that served God. So that's the power of the memory cards. And I suggest, if you're as organized as I am, the cards are here and you're at home. I suggest you go ahead and stick one or two of them in your pocket now and put them by the telephone. So when you're home, you think of it. You don't have to wait till next Sunday to get a card. You've got it. Fill it out and drop it in the mail. Anyway, that's a great way, and it's a growing source of income to purchase scriptures. Like I said, it's not quite a third yet, but as people accept it and come to understand it, it's becoming the other leg of the three legs that support distributing scriptures around the world. Let me just close with a plea. I know that you folks support prayer. We are men of prayer. We covet your prayers. One way you can support the Gideons is through your prayers. And let me tell you, I don't know about you, but I don't like shotgun prayers. Lord bless the Gideons. Let me give you a couple ideas on what to pray for. We are, as I said, our first goal is to witness. Our second goal is to witness through Scripture. So we're trying to distribute Scriptures. You might pray that we are successful in gathering funds to purchase scriptures distributed around the world. But you could imagine, if you read the newspaper, if there's 190 countries with Gideon camps in them, some of them are hostile. to Christianity. Pray for the physical safety of Gideons around the world as they try to serve our Lord. So pray for our ministry, pray for our success, but pray for the safety of your brothers in Christ around the world. Another way that you might support the Gideons is by joining. If you are a business or professional man, I'd love to talk to you about this ministry and your role in it. And the third leg, third way to serve is through supporting this ministry. And I know you've done it in the past, and I appreciate your continued support. Let me just wrap up with a testimony that was touched me. Let me share with you a number of years ago now, but a small plane was one of those tour planes that gets to see the Grand Canyon. One of those small planes flying over Grand Canyon. Something went wrong in a crash, killing everybody on board. One of those people on board was a young Japanese girl. When her parents came to collect her belongings, as they went through her possessions, they found a New Testament. And this was kind of disturbing to them because they were pagan. They weren't Christian. But they found that the Bible obviously had been read, had some lines underlined in it. And in that Bible they found a note, and that note was addressed to them. It said, "Dear Father and Mother, I'm sorry to have to say this to you, but unknown to you, I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and have been attending the church. I ask you to forgive me for not telling you. But the Lord has been with me. In John 15:16 it says, 'You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.'" The parents were upset. They burst into tears when they read that letter to them. But they persisted and found the church where their daughter was attending. They took that New Testament that she had used when she came to know Jesus and talked to that pastor. And that pastor was able to counsel with them and then was able to lead them to Christ. One copy of God's Word resulted in three lives changed forever. That's the kind of power that's new, that God's Word can have, and that's why I'm in support of the Gideon Ministry. Thank you.
Brett, thank you for sharing with us this morning. Let me just a little bit of clarification for their sake. How much do they pay you to do this?
Nothing.
I ask that because we unfortunately live in a time when there's so much flim-flamming and milking going on. You're a retired businessman now, and you serve at your own expense. This, in fact, the Gideons contribute from your own to that. Not only church is supporting, but your own to buy Bibles and get them out. And you minister. Last night, one of the Gideons that I met from the state of Kentucky had been at UK recently. Well, I guess earlier in the first semester, they were handing out New Testaments to the kids there on campus. And one girl came by, and she was on the cell phone, and he handed her, and she gave us a look, and he thought, you know, what's that? And she went on and went across the street and sat down, and he kind of watched her, and she sat there, finished her conversation, read a while, and she came back. She said, "You know, I'm from Minnesota. This is my first semester here. I am so homesick. I was just talking to my mom on the phone when you approached me, or when I approached you. And I said, 'Mom, I'm coming home.' And she said, 'Honey, you need to get a Bible and read it.'" And she had no sooner said it than you handed me this Bible and away you went. So there you go. It's interesting the providence of God in that. 191 countries, and Red China has become one of the most recent to be added to that. Businessmen in each of those countries are doing what you're doing. The businessmen there ask, "Can you get us, I forget how many million copies of God's Word?" And they want to do what they're doing there in that country. It's a good ministry. There's no perfect ministry because we're imperfect people. But I'm thankful to see God's Word going out. I know you are too. Let's close in prayer this morning and commit this ministry and ourselves to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great grace that's been given to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you that you have raised up various ministries, whether it's campus outreach that Laura's involved with, so many others that are sharing your word and your gospel with others, but now the Gideons in particular. We thank you, Lord, that you have over 100 years ago burdened two Christian businessmen to begin to make God's Word available to people so that they could have ready access to it, and how you've blessed your Word through this time. So we pray today, Lord, that you would continue to send it, even as that passage in Isaiah said, may it not return to you void. Lord, we would pray your words back to you. Would you send it to accomplish exactly what you would have it do in the lives of many, many people today. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be honor and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. May we say it together. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. We're dismissed.